Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, it's Thursday, the 16th of January. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, we'll hear from Kent Police after figures show instances of online child grooming are on the rise in Kent. We'll also hear from an animal sanctuary who have helped to rescue 28 big cats from Hertfordshire. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a secondary school in Maidstone has been unable to use its 3G sports pitch because of a ban on a noise from referees' whistles. Lucy has been following this story for the podcast. She's with me now. Lucy, this no whistle policy sounds really bizarre. What can you tell us about it?
Well, this is a bit of a complicated one. It all stems back to when Cornwallis Academy applied for planning permission for the £700,000 3G pitch. A key part of their application was that the pitch would be made available to outside clubs after school hours. But council was concerned about the increased disturbance this would have on neighbours. Instead of choosing to build acoustic barriers around the pitch to stop the noise, bosses at the school offered to introduce a no-whistle policy for games played outside of school hours. They argued there was no need to apply the ban for games during school hours, since neighbours already had to contend with daytime noise. The council accepted the proposals and the pitch was built, but whistles were still used at all times of the day, and when one angry resident reported the council for failing to enforce its own planning conditions, the authority threatened the school with legal action.
And as a result of the breach of planning permission, the pitch can't be used at all, is that right?
That's right. The school aren't allowed to use the site at all, not even by students during school hours. Now, both the school and council have been trying to get out of the mess. The school has built a partial new acoustic barrier and has a report from experts showing the use of the pitch causes no disturbance, or at least not an unacceptable level of disturbance, but that's something neighbours dispute. Meanwhile, planning officers are now asking if they had the power to impose the no-whistle condition in the first place.
This sounds like a mess. Are there any possible solutions on the table?
Well, a new application asking for the planning condition to be lifted has been submitted. Planning officers were going to recommend it for approval, but the council's own environmental health officer has agreed with neighbours who say the level of disturbance is unreasonable and intrusive. There have been 49 letters in support of the application to lift the ban and 19 opposed. Councillors are meeting later today to discuss the issue.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A Gravesend man who carried out sex attacks on children over the span of more than a decade has been sent to prison. Wayne Trail was convicted of 21 offences relating to the repeated abuse of multiple victims dating back to the 1990s. The 52-year-old who lives in Stonebridge Road in Northfleet has been sentenced to 21 years. A manufacturing company has been fined after an employee lost three of his fingers while working at a site in Ramsgate. 36-year-old David Broadway was using a panel saw to cut wood at Pemberton Timber Frame Limited in Evelyn Way when the injury happened in 2023. An investigation by the Health and Safety Executive has found the machine he was told to use wasn't suitable for the task and he hadn't had sufficient training. The company's been ordered to pay a total of more than £16,000. Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast show Kent has seen the highest number of online grooming cases in the southeast. Data from the NSPCC shows there were 264 reported cases last year. The most frequently targeted age group is between 12 and 14, although the youngest victim was just 6 years old. Here's Detective Chief Superintendent Emma Banks from Kent Police.
So there's definitely been an increase. We've seen a year-on-year increase since 2017, and, you know, 15% increase just from 2022-23 to 23 and 24. So, you know, I think that's for a number of reasons. I think we've advanced in how we identify and target paedophiles online. There's also been the independent inquiry, which has raised awareness and encouraged children to report offences. But there's also awareness raising amongst professionals and the wider public, encouraging people to report concerns. So, you know, I see it as a positive because we know there are many offences being committed, and some of those are international, not just you know, but being committed by offenders in this country.
And can I ask, some of the cases that we're talking about are children, young people. What kind of ages are you seeing online grooming happening with?
Well, we know that, you know, about 91% of 11-year-olds have access to a smartphone. We are, you know, that may means that they are going to be potentially targeted. So we've seen children as young as six that have been targeted online, but our, you know, average age is sort of 12 to 14.
And 6 years old is very young.
Yes, absolutely.
Why are these children on social media?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that's sort of one of the online safety areas that we need to look at, is how young children are when they are accessing social media. There's lots of information out there about keeping children safe. You know, that could be, you know, the NSPCC, for example, or the CEOP websites give loads of information for parents on how to do that. But, you know, it's a sad reality that you know, people are accessing social media much younger now than perhaps when I was younger.
The figures from the NSPCC show that Snapchat was the most used tool across the UK. Where are you seeing it happening? Is it social media? Is it WhatsApp? Is it even email?
Yeah, so it's a combination. So we do see quite a lot of referrals from Snapchat. I think there's two ways of looking at it, really. Is, you know, Snapchat are reporting concerns, which I think is really positive. And we need to encourage, you know, that proactivity on behalf of the industry to do that. But we see it in all platforms, you know, whether it's a gaming platform, whether it's one of the social media platforms. But often it will start in a very innocent way, and then young people will be asked to move across to a different platform. And I think that's a real red flag that people need to be aware of, that, you know, if someone is trying to encourage them off a, perhaps a better policed, and I mean policing in the widest sense, platform, to be really cautious and question why they're asking them to do that.
Those same figures were put to Joseph Hopkins, who's a teacher at Napier Primary.
I find that very upsetting. I have been aware, because of doing computing lead, of some of the statistics that have been released. Knowing that children that young are being targeted is upsetting. I've got two children myself, you know, and I think that's why it's such an important thing that there's a shared need from families, police, governance and schools to make sure that we are making children, even as young as that, as safe as possible. I think there's a misconception with the really young children that they're okay because they're not likely to necessarily use certain games or apps, but the fact of the matter is more technology is being used on a day-to-day basis, and they are becoming more and more vulnerable because of that.
And what are you seeing in schools? You know, you can pick up on these signs of how children are acting. Are you having to have more staff training as well to be aware of those signs?
Yeah, so at the beginning of every year, as a school, we actually have safeguarding training, and an online element of that is a very big part of it. We also do in-house training, and we also have systems in place as an academy where, for example, we have a smoothball system. So if the children, when in school, use a device, they use any of the buzzwords to search for something that's inappropriate or of an unage-appropriate means, it flags up with our safeguarding team. I think that communication and education is key with the children, and we're trying to import that in the youngest of children in the school right the way through, just to try to make sure that understanding is really clear to them, and that though they might not be necessarily using some of those technologies or apps or games yet, the likelihood is they are going to in the future, so it's important to kind of prepare them before they get to use them. You know, we teach children how to cross a road before they're able to cross the road on their own, and it's a similar kind of approach from us as a school in that sense as well.
That's a really interesting example. I hadn't
good
heard
analogy,
of that.
That one.
Oh, I like that. So a question that's been going around about this is, these incredibly young children are being targeted, but surely these children are too young to be using social media?
I think the thing is, I think that it's an understanding, and that's why I think it's got to be an education approach. As I said, I think it's a shared responsibility to keep children safe. I don't believe that it's just the parents that need to be keeping children safe. School have got a big part to play in that. I think that government, policy writers, the software makers have all got a shared responsibility. But I think where it comes in at the most important part is that education part. So whether it's because these children are so young, they do still get access. They may have older siblings. They may still have access on parents' phones to these things. And it's about teaching and educating them to look for certain things so that if they happen, they are prepared for them and they know what to do as a means of keeping themselves safe.
Kent Online News.
A woman's been taken to hospital following a crash in an underground car park in Ashford. There was a huge emergency response at the Panorama, which used to be known as Charter House, in the town centre just before 11 yesterday morning. It's believed two vehicles were involved. The victim is being treated at a London hospital. A family home in Ashford has been targeted in a suspected catapult attack. A window was smashed at the house in Aylesford Place in Willsborough just after 7 p.m. last Friday. Investigators want to speak to witnesses or anyone with CCTV. Now, the Dartford MP has challenged the Prime Minister to visit a hospital in Kent to see firsthand the struggles faced by NHS staff. Jim Dixon told the Commons some patients are experiencing a winter crisis, with many being treated on beds in hospital corridors. He says it's putting extra strain on a service that's already under pressure.
Patients in Kent are experiencing a winter crisis resulting from years of underinvestment in our NHS. Many are having to be treated on trolleys in corridors with cases of winter flu and other viruses, providing a significant challenge to local health services. What assurance can the Prime Minister offer my residents in Dartford that the reforms and extra investment set out by the Secretary of State for Health will make this inadequate care a thing of the past? And would he visit Darrant Valley Hospital in Dartford with me?
Prime Minister.
Well, thank you for raising this, and I'm deeply sorry for those receiving inadequate care in his constituency. The last government left the NHS in a critical condition. But you can't deliver growth with record waiting lists, 2.8 economically inactive. Our plan for change, investing in the NHS, diagnostic centres, and I'll of course consider his invitation.
The MP for Gillingham and Raynham also spoke at PMQs, calling for more action to tackle staff recruitment challenges faced by some colleges. Nishaba Khan says vocational subjects are vital to growing the economy. This was her question to Sir Keir Starmer.
I recently visited Mid Kent College, which serves my constituency of Gillingham and Raynham, and where valuable construction skills are taught to young people. However, I was also informed that the college faces significant challenges in recruiting teachers to deliver those courses. Does the Prime Minister agree with me that proper skills training and having the teachers necessary to deliver it is absolutely vital to growing our economy and building the homes we need for the future? And will he agree to set up a meeting with the relevant minister to discuss the recruitment challenges that some colleges face?
Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, skilling up the next generation is, of course, vital to kick-starting economic growth. And our plan for change, we rebuild Britain by delivering 1.5 million new homes. That's why we've established Skills England, reforming our planning system and training the workforce. And I will ensure that she gets the meeting that she wants with the relevant minister.
Kent Online News.
The owner of a burger van in Sheerness says he's shocked after it was broken into just a week before opening. Charlie Harris and his cousin Jay spent more than £1,700 renovating the van at the Co-op Sports and Social Club. They'd hoped it would become part of the community, providing fast food for football matches at the club, as well as doing breakfasts and takeaways. But it was broken into earlier this month, which has forced the grand opening to be delayed. Staff are now going through CCTV footage to identify those responsible. A shoplifter from Sittingbourne who repeatedly stole from a supermarket despite being banned has been sent to prison. The 31-year-old targeted Morrison's in Milton Regis more than 10 times in the space of just 2 weeks, taking around £850 worth of goods. She pleaded guilty to 22 charges and has been locked up for 8 months. A drug dealer who claimed to be a tourist when his car was stopped by police in Tunbridge Wells has been jailed. Adrian Badia travelled 200 miles from his home near Liverpool and was found with six bags of cocaine in his shoe. This is the moment he was arrested.
What's your name?
Adrian Bagger.
Adrian, where are you from, Adrian?
Sorry?
Where are you from? Where do you live?
Crewe.
Crewe?
Yeah.
What are you doing down here then?
Visiting. Just.
Visiting? Who are you visiting?
No, I'm the city.
Visiting the city?
Yes.
Okay. Is today your first day down here, or have you been?
No, I've been here around 6, 5, 7, 8 days.
Okay, and where are you staying at the moment?
In the car.
In the car?
Yes.
You're living in the car?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right. So what's brought you down here? What's brought you to visit Tunbridge Wells?
Yes, Tunbridge Wells and all around, and the sea, all the cities around what's here.
Palmer, I'm going to detain you under Section 23 of the Misuse of Drugs Act, okay? Because this vehicle's been seen in suspicious circumstances previously. We suspect that you and the vehicle might be involved in drug supply, okay? So just take your arm out of the thing. I'm just going to put some hand, take your arm out of this. So I'm going to detain you, leave that there. I'm going to search you and the vehicle for any drugs, okay?
Is that your phone?
You do? What have you got?
Cocaine and weed.
Cocaine and weed, and where is that? You're under arrest and on suspicion of possession with intent to supply, Class A. Okay, all right. So you do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence to not mention when questioned subject to later relying in court. You think you do say, maybe given in evidence.
Officers also seized cash and cannabis. The 27-year-old from Hankins Hayes Lane has been locked up for 2 years and 4 months.
Kent Online News.
Work on a controversial one-way system in Canterbury could get underway this year. The £3 million transformation of the A28 in Wincheap to ease congestion has already been delayed twice. Revised plans and are waiting for approval. Bosses say they're preparing to start work in the next 12 months. The closing date for a famous Kent dog racing track has been revealed. The owners of Crayford Greyhound Stadium are now pulling out of the site. The final day of racing will be this Sunday. Plans have been unveiled to build a new business park on the site of a former nightclub in Herne Bay. Developers want to build the £23 million industrial estate just off the A299 Thanet Way at Sweetbridge Road. It follows the demolition of the former Shea Lorry building decades ago. Bosses say it could create up to 250 jobs. Now, a Kent Animal Park is trying to help rehome 28 big cats that have been rescued from a site in Hertfordshire. Leopards and lynx are among the animals that were being neglected. Cam Whitnell is from the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden near Ashford.
It came about with a police investigation into the owner. He's been convicted of, you know, animal welfare violations, unsanitary conditions. And so obviously through that, we've been working with local authorities, the police and other specialists and vets to go in and get the site up to a better standard for the cats. So obviously Hertfordshire Zoo, who are our sister charity, have been working, you know, most days in there, feeding them, cleaning all the enclosures, watering the cats, because, you know, when we were first on site, a lot of the enclosures hadn't been cleaned in a very, very long time. There were feces and bones that had been there for months and months. It was completely overgrown. There were water bowls in there, which were like a brown and green in coloration. So obviously we've gone in, the team have got their diets to an acceptable level, and the cats were in a much better condition. Then the vets went in, and we worked with the vets at the sanctuary and the zoo to go in, do health checks on all of the cats, do the blood results as well. So then that way we had the data basically to be able to provide to potential homes that were looking to take them on. And from that, we've been able to take on two of the cats, Frank, the UK's only Asian golden cat, who's with us now, and Bosun, who is a fishing cat.
Can you tell me about Frank and how is he settling in?
Yeah, Frank is the UK's only Asian golden cat. He's incredibly rare. He's a beautiful boy. He's one of 11 recorded in Europe as well. So that's, you know, you don't really see Asian golden cats at all. So what we're obviously going to be doing over the next, you know, for his time here at the sanctuary is conducting a lot of research to better understand species. But, you know, when you look at an Asian golden cat, they're a small cat. They're like a reddishy orange brown golden color. They have a mix and variation of colors. Beautiful blue eyes, amazing markings on his face, like with these white lines coming down. He's a lovely temperament. He's quite shy. Obviously, he's getting used to his new surroundings at the minute, but he's doing really well. He particularly likes rabbit and chicken, which is nice. So he's on a good diet at the minute. And, you know, we're just breaking down that kind of like those boundaries with him, just getting used to us, building that trust and that confidence so we can work with him better. Obviously, Asian golden cats do come from Asia. So, you know, India, China, Thailand, Cambodia, parts in around that place. So yeah, it's really great to have him. And then when you look at Bosun, fishing cat, again, another small cat, obviously he's kind of grey in coloration with like black dots, and he's doing really well. He's settled in great. He's been exploring his home. Fishing cats are known to be around, you know, water sources, obviously hence the name. So he's got a lovely little pond that he's been moving around in his habitat, which is nice. But yeah, obviously it's going to take a little bit of time for them to settle him. But so far, so good.
They've got until the end of January to rehome the cats. So far, 14 have been relocated. And a light festival is set to return to Gravesend later this month. The theme of this year's event is Circus of Life, celebrating showmanship, acrobatics and rainbow colours. It'll take place at venues including St George's Arts Centre, the Woodville and Gravesend Pier next weekend.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis now, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is through to the third round of the Australian Open for the first time. She needed treatment on court twice before beating American Amanda Anisimova in straight sets. The 22-year-old from Orpington is hopeful it's nothing too serious.
Small niggles are going to come up here and there, and I'm just hoping that it is that. And yeah, I was able to push past some pain today, but yeah, I'm going to just try and recover as best as possible over the next day.
She'll face second seed Iga Swiatek in round three on Saturday. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.